Nakona Kamara, and welcome to Satsang with the Shambhala Center. You are beginningless. You are endless. You are divine.
Greetings and Happy New Year, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to Satsang with the Shambhala Center tonight. I am Shusara Kona Kumara, and I'm joined by our core council members, PLAN, Tim, Megan, and Linda. And we're going to go ahead and get started. There's a lot to cover tonight. So how about everybody take a deep breath, get centered, and we'll clear the space. Mother, Father, God, that I am, through the great central sun hierarchy, through the office of the Christ, through the order of Melchizedek, I call upon Archangel Michael to bring the sapphire blue ray. Cut away, cut away, cut away anything in all of our four lower vehicles not emanating directly from our I Am presence. I now call on Archangel Zachiel, keeper of the violet flame. Blaze, blaze, blaze the violet flame through all of our four lower bodies. Transmute, transmute, transmute all the psychic debris Michael has cut free. I now bring forth the invincible ring pass knot and the mirror blue light of invisibility to completely surround each of us. And I call forth a shaft of pure Christ light, one to surround each of us. And I ask that they be brought to the center of the earth, where I call on beloved Archangel Gabriel to seal them. And I ask that the legions of Michael completely surround each tube of light. And now I ask that our vibrations be raised high above the psychic and astral worlds to the highest realm of illumined truth we each can attain at this time. And now, Mother, Father, God, we place ourselves in service to you and to humanity. PLAN and I place ourselves in service to all of you tonight. We ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted into our perceptions and that all else of the lower mind be kept out. And we ask that only that which is direct from you be permitted through us. Because we have asked this, we consider it so. So be it. Very well done. Well, I hope you all had a wonderful holiday and a wonderful New Year's. It was an interesting holiday season. Didn't seem like the spirit was quite the same this year. I know a lot of people experienced that. So if you experienced that as well, then you are not alone. It was a very odd year. We had a year like that. Was it 2011 or 12? One of those years it was like, the Christmas spirit was like really lacking that year. It's like it just wasn't there. I can't remember which one it was. It was the same thing this year. It was quite interesting. I have some specific things to cover tonight about this year in particular and just kind of concerning everyone, especially, of course, I'm always kind of directing my comments to, conscious seekers. But of course, it applies to everybody, whether you're walking a conscious path or not. 2015 is absolutely going to be an interesting year. I say that with a smile on my face because I want to freak anybody out. I warned all of my students before the new year, and you're getting it now if you're listening, that this is absolutely a year where people are going to be very challenged. And my concern for my own students, as well as people like you who, you know, have the ears to hear this kind of message, you're few and far between out there. My concern is that if you aren't consciously going in to do your inner work, the world is going to bring it to you in the outside world this year. If it hasn't already, I will say in the first week of the year, all of my main students have already gotten clobbered. And everyone in the room with me today would agree with that. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything other than you're being given an opportunity to step up your work. Okay. And that is the whole point right now. It is time to step it up. As I've said to our core council members here, you know, and those of you who listen on a regular basis, you know that the message that I carry, the work that we do here, is not something that is reaching the masses yet. And I say yet because it will happen. But we are absolutely kind of the part of the vanguard of spiritual understanding on the planet. It's so beyond what people are capable of that people can't even recognize what it is that we're doing. You know, it's like it won't even come into their awareness at all unless there's something there, the piece of them that's ready to step into, you know, greater awareness. So as the leading edge of what's coming as far as spiritual evolution on Earth, you know, all of us are being required, you know, to step it up. There's really kind of no better way to say it, because I think everybody understands it when you say step it up. If there's, and what I said to my students very specifically going into the year was, you know, now's the time for you to consciously, willingly go in and look for any lingering sources of anger, frustration, sadness, unmet desires, unmet needs, like all of that stuff. Now's the time to go in and root it all out and do your work around it. Because if you don't, the world is going to bring it to you most likely this year. The reason is that, you know, we're being asked to, there was a big shifting that took place at the end of the year, and it had to do with certain, similar to when Satya Sai Baba left the physical plane, there was a shifting that took place, right? And the space that he left vacant got filled with others who have been in service. Well, we had another shifting that took place at the end, toward the end of 2014, and some people who were very, gosh, what's the word I need? Very necessary to our collective evolution. It was time for their transition. And in them transitioning out, others have had to move into those places. So if you look at it as a hierarchical kind of a thing, you fit into the hierarchy, right? It's like there's a big ladder and you're somewhere on that ladder. Well, as one person steps off the ladder, everybody moves up a rung, right? So all of you listening tonight are part of that. And you've been asked to step up to the next rung. Well, that means greater responsibility on your part and a greater willingness to really step into the courage that is required to look at all of your deepest, darkest stuff and to go in and balance out the energies that are being held in place there. And it's not for the faint of heart. You know, it's no one enjoys, kind of like everyone runs from confrontation in their physical world. There are a few people who enjoy it. Even people who like seem to look for confrontation don't actually enjoy it. And you're being asked to confront kind of, you know, yourself in a sense, but your shadow self, sounds kind of funny because this is your shadow self. Kind of like if you look at it as your own demons that you've locked away in closets, it's time to open the door and to walk in and to take them on willingly. Yeah. Versus doing everything you can to kind of keep adding locks to the closet door or barring the door or pushing up against it so they can't bust out. And that's where everybody functions from, you know. No one wants to look and see. But it's time. So I say this not from a place of anyone needing to go into fear over it. I'm just saying, just like I said, I think it was the last time we had a live program 3 weeks ago. I believe I said this, that, you know, if you have an opportunity, and especially right now, if you're hearing me, there's a reason, right? So you have someone in physical form and you're hearing a voice that's telling you it's time for you to go in willingly and go in very consciously and do it. Okay, so you've been forewarned. That is your warning. You don't need to get it any other place. You just got it. And once you have that understanding, if your choice is to not do it, this is what I'm warning you about. If the choice is to not do it, there are repercussions for not doing it. The repercussion is just you have to live it out in the physical. Now, that's not a bad thing, even though you would witness it as a bad thing, because what does that look like? Well, it looks like the things that you refuse to go in and see because they were too painful, you have to experience the pain. So if you won't experience it on your own, it means the world has to bring you something that's going to bring you pain, right? So I'm guessing just about everybody would collectively agree that that looks bad. But you have to keep in mind that anything that happens in your world that the personal self would deem bad is actually an incredible gift, right? If the personal self sees it as bad, it's giving you an opportunity to see something that you wouldn't have seen otherwise. That's the whole point. We have to get over, Megan made a comment earlier about stubbing her toe and feeling like she was being punished if she even stubs her toe, right? And that seems to be what everyone thinks of as far as karma. You've built karma, and so it's bad, and now you have to pay for it. That's not what it's about at all. Okay, the karma's there because of the polarization and then the energy that that carried and the fact that you involved other people in that. And it's binding, so it has to be balanced out, right? And so if you've put out a lot of negatively charged energy that got wrapped around others, now it has to come back to you in kind so that you can see through it, so that you can actually experience the other side of it and learn from that, right? Walk from a different place. Sometimes that's the only way that, you know, you can get through to a person because they just aren't willing to do it on their own. Either way, you got to do it. You might as well step up and do it willingly. You know, the Band-Aid is going to hurt whether you rip it off slowly or rip it off fast, right? And this really isn't any different. Dissolution work is painful. There's no way around it. Why? Because the collective is sitting in the space of pain. Predominantly pain. Remember, even the positive emotional states came out of pain. So we have to balance that collective energy. And in order to move out of that deep level of pain and balance it out, you have to walk through it and come out the other side of it. And this is where a lot of people get really trapped, because the thought is, if I just, you know, take on, kind of like if I deny that side, if I deny the anger in me, and if I deny the frustration, and if I deny the despair and the hopelessness, and I take on the attitude of hope and gratitude and whatever, that's going to negate it. And it doesn't work like that, because you're running from it, you see. You're only taking on one because you're avoiding the other. And the only thing that will bring you is more of the thing that you avoid. Okay? The only way to balance it is to actually get in it and to see it for what it actually is. See, there's a lot of fear behind confronting those dark aspects. And it keeps you from doing it. But the only power that the quote-unquote dark aspects have is the power that you've given them through your fear, right? So it's kind of like a little boy in bed at night being afraid of the boogeyman. And the adult says, you know, oh, don't be silly. There's no boogeyman. And the adult has no fear of the dark because they have the experience and they have the wisdom to know that there's nothing to fear there. But the little boy, for whatever reason happened in his world, has a projection. That projection says it's real. And so his reality is based on his projection. And all of you aren't any different. Your reality is based on your projection right now. So the things that you're projecting out as most likely will happen, right? Like Megan, I love to use some of your examples. Megan had an example once where she had recognized, she looked down at her hand and had recognized that all of her fingernails were all the same length. And it was such a beautiful thing. And of course, the first thought that comes is, oh crap. Like, that means one's going to break soon. And what was it, like the same day you broke one? Yeah. Well, of course, right? Because the expectation is that, oh, you can't have too much of a good thing. As soon as you recognize it's good, it's all going to come crashing down, right? And everybody lives in that space. And if you think you don't, look closer. Because there are an awful lot of people running around saying, oh, that's not me. I'm not like that, right? Well, a lot of people are in denial too, but that doesn't mean it isn't happening. Okay. Denial doesn't take away the fact that something is true for you just because you're in denial. You can deny that 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4, but it doesn't make it not true. So this is, you know, the challenge in the work. Anything out there that's triggering you, whether it's coming from another person or whether it's coming from an act of God or a piece of furniture, is all there because the personal self has something attached to it. And it's something that it doesn't want to look at because it's painful, right? And so go around looking for the things that bug you. Don't be in denial over them. From a psychological standpoint, you know, you could say that it can help to reprogram yourself from being a worrywart to a positive thinking person. Well, that's because the world and the outside appreciates where you're standing a lot more when you're that way, yeah? But your experience isn't changing any at a core level. Psychological work will only get you so far. It will not walk you out of the life-death cycle. Not even close. And the piece that psychology hasn't grabbed yet is that you aren't any of it. See, psychology is all based on the fact that the mind itself, the personality and all of it is real. And it's not. It's a program. It is just a program. It's an operating system, right? And it runs on autopilot. And within the program, you don't even have choice. That's a hard one for people to start seeing because everyone bases their life on the fact that they think they're making their own choices, right? Because within that space, you want to be in control of your world and in control of everything. So you have free will and you make your own choices. It's very self-important, right? But within the program, there's no choice because everything... Every choice that's made is dictated by the program itself, right? Remember in The Matrix when Neo went to see the Oracle? Tim's smiling at me. And the Oracle said, you already made the choice. You're here to understand why you made the choice. Yeah? It's a brilliant piece of writing right there. Because the same could be true for all of you. You actually came back in time to live this again here. The choices have already been made. But you can move into a space of greater awareness of those choices, right? And those things from moving from that space can actually alter everything. All things are happening simultaneously anyway. There's no linear time. That's all a creation of the mind anyway. Right. Mind creates time by pulling up memory of past events and projecting future events. And it connects the two, one into the other, and that actually creates a space of linear time. Because here, you can't be present. You can't be fully present. If you were fully present, this whole thing would dissolve in front of you. You wouldn't even experience it. And science will tell you that, too. If you map the way neurons fire in the brain, and say from the moment that there's an impulse, on, let's say I prick my finger with a needle, the moment that that happens, you experience the pain as simultaneous, but it actually isn't. There's a delay because the impulse has to go from the spot to the brain and back. So there's this teeny, teeny, teeny little tiny delay. But that shows you from a very practical place. Tim loves practical things. Very, very, very practical place. It shows you that everything actually is happening in the past here. Right? Everything. And then even cooler than that is that the pin never touched your finger. And science will tell you that too. Nothing ever touches anything here. Ever. And yet blood comes through. Pain is experienced. How does it all happen? It's fascinating, isn't it? If something can't touch you, how can it cut you? So how does the cut happen? It's really quite something. And you'll hear stories of masters. They aren't stories. They're real, but you hear them as stories of masters who could take a knife and slice it across their hand and there won't be any cut. Or if the skin opened up, it would come together again immediately. Why? Well, because it's all happening because of the mind. It creates it, right? Our belief, our collective belief creates all of it, even death. Oh, we're getting in very deep tonight. I hadn't intended on that. What I really intended on speaking about is what I talked to the group about prior in Charlotte here, is that, you know, in being asked to step it up, you're also, you know, from my standpoint as a guide, there's one thing I always look for. You're always looking that the student who does the work begins to exhibit greater levels of higher states of consciousness in their world. Okay. The perfect example of that is compassion. You can look at a person who has all kinds of mental knowledge, mental spiritual knowledge. They could talk to you about what the mind does, and they could talk to you about how to process something, and they could talk to you about karma and all kinds of stuff, right? But then if that person witnesses someone in the world, and let's say in their own world, who is experiencing something very painful, and you watch that person take it very lightly, then you know that they are not functioning from that level of understanding that they espouse to be. Because compassion is a natural thing that just comes forward as the personal self dissolves. You see, as the personal self dissolves, you can't not see that you, in essence, are everywhere, right? At some point in that process of moving into self-realization, you see yourself everywhere, everywhere. And just like I've told the story and hear about hearing my husband's voice when he was scolding my daughter, and I recognized it was my own voice. It was that unconscious part of me that got projected into the material world for me to witness because I was in resistance to it. You see? So I saw myself there, and I was, and I am everywhere in everything I see. It's my projection. And the same could be said of you. Right? So as you sit there, I'm your projection. I'm the aspect of you that holds this knowledge that you have forgotten, and the aspect of you that's there to remind you, and the aspect of you that's there to push you to go in and to keep going in and to keep going in and to dissolve out all the parts of you that don't remember, right? Self-realization is not attained, it's remembered. enlightenment isn't attained. It's remembered. Because you are that. At your core, that's what you are. It never went anywhere. It is there. It's just covered up. Layers and layers of veils. Right? So the dissolution process is the process of lifting the veils. And what is witnessed and what feels like an awakening is just the witnessing of what you already are. You know, it's a remembering. And so the point is, as you're doing your work, you know, is your work leading you, you know, does your work lead you to greater intellectual understanding? Is that who you are as a seeker? You're reading all the books and you're watching all the videos? And you can walk around saying, oh, you're just saying that because that's just your ego and blah, 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 right? So you have a bunch of knowledge in the head. Or is your work leading you into a space of greater humility and greater compassion? Because that's what true work does. There's nothing self-important about this work. It's exactly the opposite. Now, that doesn't negate you recognizing that you have value, right? And there are many people that don't recognize their own value. Low self-esteem is a huge issue with people. Moving into greater understanding does not, like, enhance the fact that you have low self-esteem. Exactly the opposite. So you can have a very healthy level of self-esteem without it becoming something unbalanced. You can know yourself to be God, right? But it doesn't diminish anybody else because they're the same. They're God too. They're equal. Like I was just saying earlier, you know, I may have more experiential understanding than my students, but it doesn't make me better than them. Nor does it make me less than my own guide who has more experiential understanding than I do. Because everyone is equal, you know? You're just functioning from a different level of understanding. If you're in a school and you take a high school senior and you put them in a spelling bee with a sixth grader, do you expect the high school senior to win? Well, sure. Why? Because they have more experience. And more wisdom built in because of the experience. So that's the same for everybody. But the sixth grader isn't less than because he hasn't had the experience, right? So be careful, because one of the pitfalls of, you know, of anything, but we'll take it to the place of doing spiritual work, is people who get involved in spiritual work end up using that as something to hold themselves as greater than. And it's very subtle. It's very sneaky. I know one of my students saw that someplace. Did you see that? You did. You want to speak to that? That's a good one. I'm making her talk. Go ahead.
There was a point where I actually saw that I was kind of getting on my high horse with what I felt I knew. And I also realized that I was really avoiding looking at things because of what I knew. I was using that also. But
So that you already had the understanding, therefore you could see it bothered you, but you didn't really need to do anything about it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would. I guess rationalize it out, use my higher understandings to make it make sense, mm-hmm. and not look at it.
Right. And isn't that the trap? So especially right now, you know, I'm really encouraging everybody to get into all those really ugly states of mind. I mean, the really ugly stuff, you know, rage sits there. Rage is ugly, but it's there. And so I'm encouraging everyone, get in it. Stop running away from it. Stop convincing yourself it's bad to, you know, be in anger. It's only bad because society decided it was bad. Now, and this is very tricky. I'm going to see if I can't cover this here too. From a higher perspective, remember, part of your work is you're beginning to experience your multidimensional self. So your understandings are this like big, huge sliding scale, you know, and things that are accurate here aren't necessarily accurate from a place of higher understanding. And, you know, is it okay? And here's the crux of the issue. Is it okay in the world to, you know, be angry and lash out at a person? Well, from the sense of doing your dissolution work, you have to come to a place where that's okay. Okay? Because the only way to dissolve it is to see through the whole dynamic. And as soon as we hold any of it in place by saying this part is okay and this part is not okay, you see, it's polarized. It's held. They're like magnetically opposed to each other. And so they're repulsed by each other. And that holds it in place. So from the level of doing that work, you've got to come into the middle of it. However, from a place of higher understanding, the Christ itself would never lash out from that personal space at another person. You know, it's not okay to hit people, for instance. It just isn't. So on one sense, you could hit someone and in highest truth, you haven't hurt anybody because it's only the personal self that felt hurt. It's not actually who they are because who they are can't be touched. There's no falling from what you actually are. Okay. So from that level, nothing's actually happening here at all. However, from being in it, there's the way the system is set up, the way the program works. Right? It's not okay to go around hitting people. You're creating karma and it's going out in waves and it's wrapping around all kinds of people and it all has to come back to you. It's not okay. Better to hold your tongue, go home, you know, and beat the tar out of your pillows than to hit another person or an animal, you know. And then apologize to your pillows because they're consciousness too. But you see what I'm saying. If you're home in a safe spot, okay, this is the time to start to allow yourself to get into those real negative states and to let them come up because too many people have not allowed it. It has to come. It's just a ton of trapped energy. And the trapped energy, you know, it's cellular and it follows you lifetime after lifetime, okay? Remember the elementals that make up the physical form are in service to you lifetime after lifetime. So they're bound to you as long as you're bound to the body. See, they're in service to you. So it'll keep coming back until the work is done and seen through. Ultimately, the physical body isn't needed, right? So now's the time. Allow the anger to come. Don't tell yourself, I can't let myself scream because my mom always told me that it's bad and good girls don't do that. And don't be afraid. If you allow yourself to look back at, you know, experiences when you were a child that made you really angry and you were just, you know, you could have gone into a rage and stopped yourself. Like, don't allow the thought that if I surrender to that and let it come forward, it means that I'm going to turn into this, you know, angry person all the time who's always mean. And it doesn't mean that at all. That's all games that the mind is playing with you, trying to swing you out of that state. Okay. That's all that's going on there. The mind will use the intellect to get you to stop going where it doesn't want you to go. And it will try everything. I have students in the past week that have struggled in process with feeling exhaustion, just feeling so tired. And when you are sitting in a really emotional state and you get really tired, that's called a threshold. And the mind places it there very specifically. It places it there because you're getting really close to what it doesn't want you to see. And so it pulls out all the stops to get you to stop. It'll make you really hungry. It'll make you tired. It'll make your body hurt. It'll give you an upset stomach. Okay. It'll find every little tiny thing for you to get preoccupied with so that you don't continue looking at where you were. See, anything to pull you out of it, even if it doesn't feel like it pulls you all the way out of it and you just get pulled out of it, like you lost kind of the charge of the energy. It's just mind. And you fell for it. You got to get back in. Because I'm telling you, the pain that collectively humanity is holding is very deep. Very, very deep. And it doesn't get cleared in a day. And it doesn't get cleared in a week. And it doesn't get cleared in a month. It will keep coming because it needs to until we as a collective have enough cleared that it can't hold it anymore. Okay? So as you're going in and doing your own work, you're clearing it for humanity as well. It's not just you. You're helping the collective. Do any of you have any questions? I'm just talking away here. Nothing? They're not going to be helpful. Tim, anything? No? They're putting me on the spot. PLN? Nothing?
Wait, let me look through my notes. I've been busy typing.
See, it's hard for me sometimes because I have to keep in mind, and I'm going to ask all of my students right now to keep in mind, that I don't know the level at which the people listening are functioning from, right? So I'm sitting here in a room of people where they're all advanced students. Their understandings are solidly in place. I don't know who I'm speaking with right now. There could be people that, you know, 90% of what I just said completely passed them because they can't even grab it, you know, because they just aren't there yet. So that's why I look to them for questions, because sometimes I can't see it. You know, a lot of times things will just come, which will seem a little strange that they come out and that's fine. I know it's there for a reason. But sometimes it's like I stop because it feels like there's got to be something that a person would ask at this point. And so I look to my students because sometimes they remember what it was like being a newer seeker. Yeah.
I have one. If you can go back to within the program, there is no choice. Even though you explained it a little bit, I think that's a hard one for people to grasp.
Yeah. Well, because it's so challenging to the concept of I, right? And there was some movie. What movie was it? Oh, it was The Matrix. That was Neo's big thing in The Matrix. I have choice. I have choice, you know. It's like, no, you really don't. Not yet, anyway. From within the program, okay, when the personal self is the thing running, there is no choice, you see, because the program is set up in such a way that the quote-unquote choices that are made are going to lead to the furthering of the program. Why is it that a woman who always makes really horrible choices in men comes out of a bad relationship and says, I swear I will never date a guy like that again. I always end up with the same kind of guy. I swear I will never do it again. And then 6 months later, she finds herself back in the same exact situation, even though she did things differently. So wherever, maybe she always used to meet her boyfriends at bars. So she stopped going to bars and then she met this next guy at a spiritual meetup group, let's say. Okay. It seems completely different. And yet 6 months down the road, she's in the exact same position with the guy. Why? Because the mind is singular. Don't forget that. You think your mind is separate from someone else's mind. Uh-uh. The mind is singular. There's one program running here. And it knows who to look for to continue the patterning. There's no choice in that. You think you're making a choice. There's no choice in that. You subconsciously are looking for the exact person who's going to trigger what needs to be triggered in you so that you wake up. But then what you do is you end up taking it as, oh, he has all these issues and, you know, this is all his stuff and why can't I make better choices? And you miss the point completely. The point being that the universe brought you everything you needed so that you could finally do the work to end the whole dynamic. So that at that point, from a conscious place, you actually have choice. You see? But within the pattern, there's no choice. It doesn't exist. It's always looking for the thing that's going to continue the pattern. And it'll find it. It knows what to look for. Doesn't mean you see it in the outside world, but it knows what to look for. Everything is, you know, if it helps to think of everyone connected like hive mind, right? Like bees, then think of it that way. There's one mind here. And everything is functioning off of that one program, right? And everything is held separate here because where PLAN is running her program is at a different part of the cycle than where Tim is sitting in his program. So when I look at the two of them together, I can't connect them because they don't look the same. See, she's sitting over there in hopeful la-la land and he's over here in guilt and shame. And they look very different. So they look like very different personalities and all of this stuff. And they're not. But you can't see it. You can't see it. Because you're too close to it. Right? So mind is always going to get what it's looking for. As long as it's running the show. Right? But you aren't that. There's lower mind and there's higher mind, and they aren't two separate things. It's like I keep saying, it's a sliding scale, right? Consciousness can function from higher mind. Consciousness can function from lower mind. It just depends on where it's sitting. Well, right now, consciousness is not only attached to lower mind, but enslaved by it because of the way the program runs. Because consciousness right now believes that it's an individual thing separate from everything else, with free will, making its own choices, determining its own future, blah, 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 right? Very self-important. Remember I told you self-righteousness came out of really, really deep pain. And we use it. We use our self-righteousness to judge others, and then we justify the judgment because all of it supports the unmet needs that we feel. This is the danger, you know, on one sense, you know, is it good to be a positive thinking person? Is it good to go through psychological self-help and all that? Well, yes. Within the program, yes. It can bring you a greater sense of happiness and stuff, right? But I'm not here to be anyone's psychologist. That is not my job. I am not a therapist. I don't want to be a therapist. I have no interest. I'm here to help people who want to walk off the life-death cycle. That is not therapy. Two very different things. I could be a therapist, but that's not where my interest is. Am I interested in watching my students move into a state of beingness where joy resides? Well, sure. What greater blessing is there? Amazing gratitude that a guide feels when they watch their students move into those states. However, don't think for a second that I'm not going to do what I need to do to push my student into the depths of despair if that's what's needed. See, it's not personal. If you come to me and you say, I want off, I want to see through it, then you have to be willing to do what's needed to see through it. It's not pretty, people. It's amazing anyone out there even listens, really, when you think about it. I mean, if I look back, I'm amazed that I did my own work from that place because it's not pretty. It just isn't. That's how you know a true seeker. True seekers are so few and far between, you know? They're so few and far between because it's such a difficult path. The ascension path is not easy. It challenges every single belief you're holding. Everyone. Everyone. Nothing is left. Just nothing is left. Think death is real? That'll be challenged. You're going to see through that. Think good and evil are real? That'll be challenged. You're going to see through that too. And that's, you know, is good and evil real within the program? You better believe it. Are you potentially at risk of allowing, quote unquote, evil entities into your space? Absolutely. You better believe it. As long as you're running the program, you are. Is it smart to protect yourself? You better believe it. Does it exist outside? No, it doesn't. Seeing you're walking this line, you're walking the line of being in the world, but not of the world. It's not simple. Anyone who thinks it's simple has obviously not done the work. Because the work itself will bring you to your knees. Absolutely bring you to your knees. And I say that from personal experience. Three occasions I can think of in my own journey where I literally was brought to my knees. I'm physically, like literally brought to my knees in pain. And I still kept going. Why? Because the other side is so incredibly beautiful. You just can't even wrap your mind around it. That's why. Because freedom is gorgeous. And I can't think of anything else worth investing that kind of energy into. Yeah, Tim. Yeah, come on over.
I was just thinking, since you were saying that people on the radio probably don't, they're not here and they don't have the same understandings that we may have. And I just wanted to mention an example, of how the work is hard, but, even though it challenges you, you see things that are important. So, as you know, I've been in my own process, with my mother, and I've gotten a strong directive to look at this. And, so I have been going through, like punching pillows and trying to feel the anger and everything. And, and I saw something earlier this week where I've had a pattern with my mom where it's been very hard to get over a lot of the pain that I've experienced growing up with her. And I just held on to it for 30 years, long, long time. And one thing that I was seeing was that I actually was just in pain. It wasn't anger that I was really holding on to. It was pain that I was really holding on to. And I just saw this Sunday where if I had just told her that I'm in pain, a lot of the issues that we've gone through could have just been cleared. If I could have just admitted, how much, I want to hear you say, you love me, or I'm just hurting over here. But I was so afraid of what I expected the outcome to be, I just couldn't do it. And so it just came out over time. It's like anger and passive aggressive behavior and, slamming furniture and stuff like that, and I never saw it, until I was actually pushed to see it, but it was sitting there. It sounds like such a small example to just see that I could have just told her, hey, I'm in pain, but I never saw it for 30 some years, and so for me, it's just, that's an example of me, of the things that I've seen, from doing this kind of work. And, even when guys are pushing you to do things and it seems like it's a horrible thing at first, when I saw that Sunday, it was like an aha moment. I was like, wow, thank you for kicking me in the butt, because I never would have seen it, if I didn't have that encouragement and that push. So it seemed bad at the time, but it was actually a very, very good thing. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you. Now, that's fantastic. And then that experience, I could have told him that because it's not anything I didn't see, right? And I could have told him, but what good would that do? Because then the intellect would take it and turn it into something and keep him from actually going in and experiencing what he experienced. And now that he has had the experience of it, now he owns that experience. You won't forget that. how many times have we been talking like in session? And you'll be like, I know you've told me this like 100 times, but I actually just saw this. Well, yeah, that's why. Because I could say things over and over to people. You'll never remember it. It's never going to take hold until you actually have the experience of it. That's what makes it real for you. That's what allows the person to, you know, move through the ascension process. It's all experiential, every single bit of it. There's nothing on your path that will not be experiential for you that's going to walk you off. You have to walk every single step. All right. Kind of like those people who are on, in Tibet and stuff. They do the pilgrimages and you watch them and they stand up and then they get down and they lay on the ground and then they pull themselves forward and they stand up again. And they do that for miles, like 10 miles of that, right? That's you as a seeker. You have to do every single one of them, you know, through the blisters and through the gravel and through the pain and the blood and the, you know, hot and sweaty and dehydrated. Like, that's what you have to go through. But as Tim just showed you, on the other side is something, it's just so amazing when you finally see it. And there's more for him to see. But having that one thing is, it will propel him. Because what he just saw was so priceless. And like he said, there's no way he could have seen it. He just could not have seen it any other way. If he had, he would have already. It's not like he wants to not like his mother, right? People out there don't want to dislike parents or dislike former lovers or whatever. You can't see it. It's too well hidden. And that's why you need a guide in order to help you move through it. Okay? Not there to show it to you, but there to guide you to it. You do the work. All right. So tonight, we ready for our music now? Yeah? Okay. So tonight, the song I picked is actually very personal to me. It was something that came up for me on New Year's Eve when I was sitting in meditation at midnight. And so I have my own reasons for playing it tonight. But hopefully, for those of you who have already experienced the initial push from the universe this year and are feeling personally challenged, I chose this song partially for that reason too, to give you a little bit of comfort knowing that you are not alone and you are always so well supported. You can't see it, but I promise you, you are supported. So until next week, thank you so much for joining us and my very deepest love to all of you. Thank you. Good night.
Spend all your time waiting for that second chance, for a break that would make it okay. There's always some reason to feel not good enough, and it's hard at the end of the day.
You are divine.